Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm NFL linebacker TJ Watt, and this is my personal best. YPB by Abercrombie is the activewear I'm always wearing. That's why I reached out to co-design their latest drop. I worked with designers to create high-performance activewear that holds up to my toughest workouts. Shop YPB by Abercrombie in-store, online, and in the app. Because your personal best is greater than anything.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team and every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
40-40, like you said, one of the highest ties we've ever seen in NFL history. Pony, you said the Packers were, or the Cowboys, excuse me, were going to have to, you know, put up points to win games. They put up a lot of points, and they still couldn't win this game. So let me ask you guys, what kind of statement, if any, did the Cowboys make, even in the tie last night? Because I think they surprised a lot of people with how they were able to keep up with the Packers last night.
Yeah, the biggest surprise to me is probably the Packers' defense, you know, off the amount of big plays that they gave up in that game, especially not having CeeDee Lamb. Dallas really didn't were known for a running attack, was able to control the running game for the most part of that game. And George Pickens and Dak Prescott end up getting on the same page. And that, you know, that's kind of what ended up opening up the passing game for them, because if George Pickens is not making those catches, I don't know who else will be able to make those type of grabs and really open up the passing game for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, I was impressed on just how hard they played. You know, they didn't give up. They made big plays in big moments, and they pretty much weathered the storm, especially early on in that game when the Green Bay jumped out, you know, 13-0, and ended up blocking the extra point, taking it back for two. But when the way the Green Bay Packers came out, you thought this game was going to be a mollywop. You know, and then they got their act together, scored before halftime. Jordan Love made a crucial mistake before halftime, ended up giving them some momentum going into halftime and coming back out in the second half, and having that pretty much carried them over into the second half and helping them almost win that ball game, because Jordan Love almost gave them the game again in the overtime situation, you know, just bad clock management. So, yeah, kudos to the Cowboys, man. They play hard, they play tough, and I'm always going. I am going to continue to use this analogy is that they are the 2025 Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, you called that from the very beginning that Dallas was going to play a lot of games where they were shootouts and they were not going to be able to stop anybody, and you've been dead on. I think Jerry Jones feels good this morning. I think Jerry Jones feels even more validated by this trade because he gets Kenny Clark, who had a big play in this game. They move the ball up and down on the Green Bay offense, really, from that blocked extra point on. These blocked kicks are rampant all over the NFL. They're affecting tons of games now. It's one of the, I think, stories of the NFL season to this point. And so, you know, Micah Parsons is in Green Bay to make sure whenever they score 40 points, they don't not win. Okay, that's the whole point of that trade. He had one sack. He had three quarterback hits. I say he had a good game. I wouldn't say he had a great game, obviously, because of the number of points they gave up. And so I think for Dallas, even though the game was at home, a tie feels like a win. Mm-hmm. And for the Packers, a tie feels like a loss because you were up 13-0. You've got to win that game. And after your defense pulverized Detroit and Washington at home in week two, where the heck was it last night? And Dallas was without its number one weapon in CeeDee Lamb. So I think this tie is going to negatively affect Green Bay. They're my Super Bowl pick. I don't feel as good about them now because they had the tiebreaker over Detroit. Now they don't because Detroit's a half game ahead of them. And mm-hmm. now Detroit doesn't necessarily need things like head-to-head records or NFC North records for the tiebreaker. They can just win a half more game than them in the standings. So bad night for Green Bay, I think, overall, given the whole point of this was you're going to make the Cowboys feel like they made a mistake giving up Micah Parsons. And in the end, I don't think they did.
Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding in Jerry Jones' statement post-game. He said, they got what they got. We got what we got in the trade. And in the end, we tied. I said, that man feels so good about himself right now. And it was all over his face. So the Cowboys get a tie against the Packers in a thrilling Sunday night game. We'll see how that affects both teams and standings come the end of the season. Let's go to the Eagles and the Bucks because my hope was up for a little bit. A walk down almost happened in Tampa on Sunday, but alas, the Eagles do hang on to beat the Bucks, remain undefeated, get out of Tampa with a win for the first time in a long time. What is your take on the Eagles hanging on to beat my Bucks?
Well, they gave us a new look at the tush push, and yeah. Now the rest of the NFL is going to have to figure that out because that Saquon Barkley play was one of the easiest touchdowns we've ever seen. And we saw a lot of tight formation plays where Philadelphia did some exotic things like an underhand pass from Jalen Hurts to Dallas Goedert for a touchdown. They block a punt in this game for a touchdown. They've won 20 of 21. All right. So when the season started, I picked Green Bay and we were talking about who else is going to challenge Philadelphia? Could it be Washington? Can it be the Rams? Can it be the Bucks? I mean, 2 weeks in a row, Philly has gone up against teams that are division champions. And I like the Rams to beat them, and I ended up being wrong. So did you, Pat? Yep. And James thought his Bucks were going to do it in 100-degree heat, and they couldn't do it either. So regardless of what we might want, you know, Philadelphia to not look like the best team in the NFL, they continue to do it. And this was the opposite of last week. Instead of getting down and coming back, they had to hold on. And Baker tried to do Baker things late in this game, but in this case, Pat, it did include some turnovers in the end, including that interception in the end zone. And that's how you get Philadelphia at 4-0 and still looking like they're the class of the NFL.
Yeah, they're just a above everyone else in the league right now. Like I said, you know, early on, you know, last week, is that this team just knows how to win. And the biggest difference in that game was that block punt, you know, to start, you know, to pretty much start the game off, because the score was 26-21, I believe. Somewhere in there, they won.
It was 31-25.
or 31-25. I know it was by possession. So 31-25. And if they don't get that block punt for a touchdown, you know, who knows where that score can be. But the Philadelphia Eagles they could just continue to show a heart of a champion. Jalen Hurts still, only going for 15 of 24 for 30 yards, two touchdowns, but they were short and did not complete a pass in the second, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they still end up winning this game.
AJ Brown had 7 yards in this game.
Exactly. And I was just about to ask you that question as well. Like, where are the receivers in the Philadelphia Eagles are still 4-0. So, I mean, it's going to be tough beating these guys because they have shown they can beat you in so many different ways, coming back. They can beat you up on the ground. Jalen can throw for, two.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
250 yards, three or four touchdowns. You know what I mean? So they've shown that they can win in so many different fashions. And quite frankly, it don't look as stressful as it did. Like, because you always have questions on teams who win close games. Like, it don't look stressful to them because they've been in this moment so many times, but they always find a way to prevail. But it always looks stress-free. I don't know if it's just because it's Jalen, Hurts at the quarterback position, but it just seemed like nothing seems to ever phase that team. And another thing I make is Quinyon Mitchell, man. He grew up a lot in this game. They had him traveling with Abuke, the young receiver for Tampa, and he played really well, man. And I like his skill set. I love how aggressive he was getting into a little tussle with the offensive lineman. he really, really grew up Sunday. So Coach Vic, the defense coordinator, he normally don't even have corners traveling, and that's the type of confidence that he have in Quinyon. So let's continue to see if he can continue to do what he has been doing thus far in this season to help this team get back to where they was last year.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Yes, the Eagles moved to 4-0. The Bucs 3-1. If you remember back to week 2,
and there's no beanie today. The beanie went in.
Can't put the beanie. Got to know when to hold them. Got to know when to fold them. Can't put the beanie on right now. If you remember back to week 2 when Eagles were in victory formation against the Chiefs and Chris Jones was yelling out, "You didn't even have 100 yards in this win." I feel him. I feel what he's talking about. It's tough to beat that team. It's really tough to beat that team. But hanging on, the wins didn't just happen domestically. Let's go to Ireland, where Pony, your Steelers hang on to get a victory, their first international victory. And at some point, You got to get on the Steelers bandwagon. Did this win do it for you, Pony? Are you on the Steelers bandwagon yet?
I'm getting closer. I'm in the parking lot. I see it. I'm not on it yet, though. But I'm close enough where if I want to walk on, I can do it now. For about 55 minutes, it was the best game they've played this year. And they got after Carson Wentz. They had 6 sacks in this game. They had 2 interceptions. They made him look uncomfortable, which Cincinnati, of course, never did with the Cincinnati defense that they have. But more than anything else, they ran the ball, and Jaylen Warren was out in this game, was a late scratch. Kenneth Gainwell, the former Saquon Barkley backup, had his best game in the NFL with 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way that they decided schematically to just put in an extra offensive lineman and Darnell Washington, the huge tight end who also functions as an offensive lineman, they basically played 7 guys to block in the run game. They ran the ball effectively enough, Pat, where it took all of the Brian Flores bells and whistles out of the game.
Yep.
And so Ben Roethlisberger came out this week and said that Brian Flores was basically going to coach circles around the Steelers. He did not. I actually thought the Steelers had a great offensive game plan in this one, and they needed to hang on for dear life. Peyton Wilson made one of the great hustle plays I've ever seen in an NFL game to win it. Mm-hmm. And DK Metcalf also had the biggest first half of his NFL career and the longest touchdown in international play. But they needed to sweat in the end to win it. So, yeah, you expect the Steelers defense to beat a backup quarterback. They did it. They're 3-1. They're in first place. And they got outgained again, Pat. But a win is a win for them. And I'm starting to feel better about their defense, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, I got to agree with everything that you said. A win is a win. They really, really did outcoach Brian Flores and his defense because they didn't allow him to get any into any of those exotic looks and pressures and things like that. In the first half, they kind of got into it a little bit and got Aaron off his looks, and the Pittsburgh Steelers realized that. And once they started being positive on first downs, that's when, you know, they started to kind of control the game. And you saw a little bit more of Aaron Rodgers up under the gun versus being, you know, in the shotgun. So, yeah, very, very impressive game plan by Arthur and the gang. The defense, you know, they did it. I thought it just seems like they're starting to, you know, get their groove back. They took advantage of Brian O'Neill getting hurt before the half because, you know, that was going to be T.J. Watt pretty much assignment. What a great interception that he made in that ball game to kind of flip the momentum as well. Yeah, these guys, it looks like they're starting to get their groove.
I don't know how you let a wide receiver get behind you when they're at their own goal line, though. That's still kind of mind-boggling to me. But
yeah, I mean, things happen. You know what I mean? And that should not happen. But yeah, I know Coach Tomlin, that's one of the things that we always talk about as well. You know, obviously protecting the goal line, and obviously when the team is backed up, you know, hard counts of shots.
So, but an inside linebacker ran down Addison, and that took an extra minute off the clock, and that was massive. And the Steelers hold on for a win there, Pat.
Yeah, and that's what it all comes down to. You know, those, you know, he didn't cross the line in defending every blade of grass, and that's why they always open up every single practice with a competition period of 7 shots, because 9 times out of 10, when you're looking at a Pittsburgh Steelers game, it's weird scoring for 1, and 2, it's coming down to the goal line. So that's he just always seemed to put his team in the right position, and they always seemed to come out on top. But it was good to see DK Metcalf have a big game. I would love to see him get the ball, you know, down the field a little bit more, because going into that game, I believe Aaron Rodgers had the lowest per pass attempt yards per pass attempt in the league. You know what I mean? Still didn't. I mean, they tried to connect to with each other down the field a couple of times with a couple of back shoulder fades, but they need to. I really feel like they need to take some shots downfield a little bit more. But for the most part, it was a good win for them, man. First win over internationally, and I was just worried on if they was going to be up for it, far as getting there the time that they did get there, and they end up coming on top of that as well. So yeah, good win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now they're back home. Who they got this week?
Bye.
Oh, and they got a bye. So it's a, they sitting pretty well right now, going into the bye. And the Pittsburgh Steelers now is gonna, for the last 3 years, have been, you know, coming out with good starts. Now it's coming out of that bye and finishing out the season to put themselves in a better position.
Going into the bye with a win is definitely good momentum. My favorite part of the Steelers victory is the OG tush push, I call it, where Aaron Rodgers is nowhere near it involved. He's behind it and he says, good job, y'all. Let's go to first down. That's how, that's how a quarterback should do it. Let's go back domestically, come back to the States where we try to figure out the Falcons from getting shut out against the Panthers to now beating a team who was represented in the NFC Championship last year. Is this enough to kind of get your guys' confidence back in Atlanta to get back into the NFC South picture?
I mean, I never gave up on them. I was close. I said I'm still sticking with them to win it. But I got to talk about the resilience of Michael Penix, man. Like he didn't have an outstanding game, but he had a great bounce back game. You know, hooking up with his receivers down the field. Got my guy Kyle Pitts involved. Drake London finally involved in the party. And you got to remember this kid coming out of Indiana, suffering ACL, multiple ACL injuries, transferring over to Washington and being able to turn that program around into what. You know, his last year taking him over to the national championship. So we know that he got grit. We know he got heart, and he pretty much showed it, you know, with this bounce back game, you know, against the Washington Commanders team. Because at the end of the day, we know Dan Quinn wanted to come back in there and get a victory. We know they didn't have Jaden Daniels under the gun, but we knew how much this game meant to him. So we knew this team was going to be geared up and was going to get was going to give their best shot and try to get their coach that victory. So the way Michael Penix played, man, and Bijan Robinson and the defense at times, man, this was a good win for them. And hopefully firing the receivers coach got the passing game going a little bit in the right direction. So hopefully, you know, Michael Penix can keep this, you know, this mojo going right now. And Atlanta defense can continue to, you know, get after the quarterback and stop teams from running the football. It might can put themselves back in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm still on Atlanta. You know, I thought that they should have gone to Kirk Cousins for this game. They didn't. Michael Penix did exactly what he needed to do to look like he deserves to be their starting quarterback. He got the ball to all three playmakers. It was the first game ever those three guys scored touchdowns together in a game. Pitts, London, and Robinson. They scored 34. They needed it because Washington scored 27. I don't think it's a great look for the defense that with Marcus Mariota at quarterback and no Terry McLaurin in, you still gave up 27 points to Washington. They have banged up running backs too. Eckler's out for the year. Kroski Merritt barely played because he was hurt all week, and you still gave up 27 points. So that's definitely got to get ironed out. They got to get back to being the defense they were week two against Minnesota and not the defense they've been the last 2 weeks against Carolina and Washington. Not good offenses by far. I mean, they're not. I mean, Carolina, look at what they did against New England on Sunday. We'll get to them. So, but the most important thing is Penix, obviously, and he won and he played well. And Tampa Bay's got a really tough schedule coming up. So it's possible that by the time we get to Halloween, Atlanta is right there with Tampa Bay and they've caught them in the NFC South standings, which I really do believe is a possibility if we see their offense click like it did in this game on Sunday.
Sorry, Jane.
A lot of football left in the season. Yesterday was not my day, though. I had to watch my division rivals be very impressive, watch my team lose. But it's okay. The Falcons get back in the win column against the Commanders, an impressive win for the folks in Atlanta. But let's move on because I learned two things this past weekend. I learned that Jackson Dart is a gamer, and I learned to never doubt the golden underdog when Pony brings out the golden underdog. Let me see him. There he is. There he is. Because I'm not sure, Pat, you talk about the crystal ball. I'm not sure what kind of foresight Pony has, but he might be the only person in America who really called this game. The Giants and Jackson Dart hand the Chargers their first loss of the season. How did they get it done?
I told you guys, and I was mocked and ridiculed for it all over the internet and all over this show by you guys. It was just a total Chargers game. This is who the Chargers are. Even though Jim Harbaugh has obviously injected life into them with his style of coaching, they just do not handle prosperity well, and they never have. And this is just a classic Chargers moment. Go east, early game. Offense starts shaky. Offense doesn't look anything like it has for the first 3 weeks. And you let the Giants move the ball on you pretty much the entire game. I thought when Malik Nabers, and it's horrible, I mean, it's a Pyrrhic victory for the Giants. They win, but they win the battle. They lose the war because now Nabers is out for the year, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a deflating moment right there where the game's lost. You've got a rookie quarterback in. Now your star playmaker is injured. Everyone knows it's bad because he gets carted off. And that could have been the turning point in the game. It wasn't. How about when Jackson Dart has to leave the game in concussion protocol? Russell Wilson goes in, gets sacked immediately. New York goes backwards. Another chance for the Chargers to get back in the game. They didn't. Dexter Lawrence had an interception. Phillips had an interception that he returned and set them up for a score. But more than anything else, I just love the moxie and I love the competitive spirit of Jackson Dart. He's getting his coach, he's giving him a heart attack because he won't slide. But the dude is battling for extra yards in big spots. And I just love that about him. And I thought it was infectious in this game. And I see no reason why it can't continue because they've got the Saints next week, Pat.
Yeah. He's going to have to be a little bit more mindful, you know, while he's in the open field. But I have to start off by saying, I am sorry, Jackson Dart, for putting that bad mojo on you, saying that you was going to throw in two interceptions in that ball game. You did not.
Herbert threw three.
I know. It ended up going over to Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert's side. But I have to start my statement off by saying sorry. And you played a pretty solid game to give your team the victory. But for the most part, man, like you said, Pony, I love his moxie, man. I love his swag. I love the energy that he brought to this New York Giants offense. And for the most part, it seemed like he has a New York attitude. You know what I mean? I don't know, you know, if that's what, you know, New York was looking for or waiting for. But this rookie class, pretty much all of them, Scatterboo, who's pretty much now, he was the heartbeat. And I felt the heartbeat and the pulse of that of the offense before Jackson Dart ended up being inserted into the starting lineup. But now you got two guys that pretty much share the same enthusiasm. You know what I mean? So it's what the Giants have been able to do in drafting, you know, getting these two guys in the draft, and Abdul Carter had a couple big plays in that game early on. Man, the future is bright for the New York Giants. So again, I was wrong about what his performance was going to be. Opening his opening drive, taking his team down the field. Rushing it in for a touchdown, finishing the game with 50 yards on the ground. You know, so, yeah, it just looked like Brian Daboll is going to have fun with his new toy at quarterback.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.